You mean more green things or food?
Vacant lot, changing
the... Ah, right, like green gorillas and that kind
yeah.
of
thing. Yeah, yeah, the Greening Coalition was set up to try to get city agencies to work with private agencies to just get money and support from wherever they could. And they're a righteous group, but again, it was the same kind of business of people making commitments to me, of being in certain places for me to assist them. And when I got there, they didn't show up and never got a phone call to explain how come, you know, I showed up to volunteer at their convenience. They, you know, I said, when are you available? They said, such and such a day. I said, far out, I'll be there. I arrived and sat in the office all afternoon waiting for the lady, and she hasn't called me back yet. And it's just been this kind of thing right and left. Our block party was an entire flop as a result of the fact that not only did BAI not come through with certain things they promised, both a hospital and Bellevue Hospital has a mobile unit they supposedly send around the city to places to...
What do you mean by it being a flop?
Well, we were supposed to be...
No one came? Was it a sunny day? I mean...
It was a sunny day, and, well, the sound truck wasn't there, and the publicity was not adequate, but all the people who'd promised to come didn't come to entertain and to do various and sundry things like these.
Why do you think all this happened?
My only feeling is that, like...
I mean, you know, one could say that none of these groups are able to deal with anything, or one could also say
I think they have unrealistic goals. I think they try to take on so much more than they can possibly accomplish that they wind up just being groups that sit around and discuss what would be wonderful if it did happen.
Well, you must have, can you tell me one success story in your experience in your life? Otherwise, you know, one would have to conclude that, you know,
oh, sure.
Maybe you have an abrasive personality or something.
No, I don't think it has to do with that so much as, my just observing these groups, you know, and how they function has been the eye-opener.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that RCA and I know that IBM are functioning on a certain ethic and with a certain attitude, and I wouldn't expect anything different from them. What I found astounding is that all of these, I don't know how else to put it, but right-thinking. That's the only, because they are so diversified. They're volunteer, they're foundation type places, they're small, they're very disorganized, and their goals are just so idealistic that as far as practical functioning, they don't. Now, you know, some do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, it's hard for me to...
Right.
Conjure.
Well, what do you think? What is that leading you to say? I mean, what does that mean? Okay, you've had all these bad experiences over the summer.
Okay. Now, what I would say is that I went into this with the attitude, I have always said, if I had time, and I was fairly supporting myself somehow, and had some time, this is what I would do with my time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I had the time, I went and did it, and this was what I got shown. And all I can conclude from this is that a lot of other people get turned off, and much more severely than I've been turned off. I'm not going to sit, you know, in my home and not ever go out again. But I would think a lot of people, especially middle-aged people, I think that they have seen maybe for 20-odd years people struggling to do certain things and get certain things organized, and that essentially they never get organized enough to really accomplish their goals, and they just begin to think what I'm thinking, which is that it's a waste of time, and that, you know, you have to do things entirely on your own, and that these organizations that get set up just become more bureaucracy.
Well, let me ask you this one other thing, and that is that when we were off the air, right, you said that you had for a long time been trying to see some kind of a synthesis between, along some of the lines that, for instance, that, you know, I was talking about,
right,
a synthesis of the radical and the metaphysical, and
right,
where is this in your mind at this point?
Okay, I'm also in a medium development circle, unfoldment circle, where we do a meditation and certain things, and there's a medium in the group who has very quickly, more quickly than most, moved into being a trans medium. And, you know, this is a very difficult area for me because I found that this, for this work, it was necessary to have a circle and to work with people. And the people I'm working with, their consciousnesses are so little risen. I'm the only female in the group. The one other female is attached to a man, and she never says anything because she's just, like, in the shadow of this husband. And, you know, I find that really disturbing. And so I'm the only spokesperson in the group of, it's somewhere between, like, 6 and 10 people. Varies. People come and go out, in and out of it. To the point where if there's any feminist input at all, it's just joked off. It's just completely laughed off as being kind of, you know, whatever that TV media thing about feminism is.
So you've become a cynic, in other words, that's your response, right?
Well,
I mean, I can understand, but I mean,
I understand why a lot of other people are much more cynical than I am.
Uh-huh.
Still willing to give it a try.
Right.
But
right.
I was very hostile towards a lot of people who said, it's not worth voting. It's not worth doing anything. These organizations are just not worth anything. It's just a waste of time. And I said, no, it's not. I said, if we all went and did our bit, then it would function. And the reason it doesn't function is because we're not doing our bit.
Right.
I went to do my bit, and...
Yeah. Well, that I can understand. I mean, I can understand.
A lot of people just are really torn down by...
By petty,
know,
yeah.
Just not being able to really get down to the work that needs to be done. And there's so much of it that needs to be done, and you should be able to be involved with an organization that would get it done. And whether it's been with the spiritualists or it's been with, you know...
People's heads are just too messed up to deal with the problems at hand. That's what
really,
it sounds like.
Really, really. And, you know, I just don't know. I mean, are we going to have an alternative to the alternative? Is that what's happening? I mean, you know, that, like, the alternatives we have don't function? Maybe that's the case.
Well, there seem to be a lot of people who want to respond to you, so maybe I should let them do that.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, right.
I never gave the number, but all the phone lines are filled, so I should give it anyway. It's 371-5200. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, gosh, I feel as though I have a million things to say, but I hope that both you and this lady that was just talking, have you ever had the feeling that they were talking for you, that it was you that was really doing the talking?
Oh, sure.
However, you know, you said that you were... I just loved some of the things that you said before, because, for instance, working toward a synthesis.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been doing this for a long time, and I've been writing some things about it and so on. And I've gone through a lot of the process of elimination, and like this last lady was talking about. And in the religious, in the spiritual field, in the voluntary field, in all of these things. However, I found that I called the station, your station, a little while ago, about a week ago, because there was another wonderful program on, and I was telling about the synthesis that I had, and after it was over, it was some of the ladies, three of them, I think, in the evening, Jean, I can't remember all their names, but it was about 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, and after I got through, there were about 4 or 5 calls, and last, a gentleman called, and he said some of the most beautiful things I've ever heard in my whole life. I was jumping out of bed, you know, about what I had said. Because I do really think that I have found some kind of a synthesis, at least an evolutionary one.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been talking about the evolutionary limitations that make us, bring us back to Earth after we have gone through what this last lady said, and the idealistic motives that so many people lead down the, you know, lead us really astray. And when you have an influence behind that, and I'm going to say this because you yourself brought it out, an influence behind that, which is since World War II, largely totalitarian, you know, in attitude, that is that, you know, that we've got to control things and control people. And oftentimes, after we've had bad experiences and reacted to them, we're so frightened of our own feelings that we project them onto others. And so the others become an enemy, you know, that has to be controlled. And
mm-hmm.
actually, it's our own feelings that we're afraid of, and we're not really too conscious about what they are. It's too painful to analyze and evaluate them all the time, you know.
Right.
So the result is that, and this happens from the time that a baby is born. I mean, sooner or later, that baby is going to do something that will be disapproved of, or it will be frightened of itself. Like, you know, you've seen a child attack an animal or something, and then when it's hurt, get absolutely so frightened, it's frozen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but that fear, you see, is of the self, and then that's projected because it also knows that it wasn't its fault, it wasn't intentional, you know? Anyway, there's a whole lot of this growing up thing, and a lot of the time, especially when family life is disrupted, where the continuity of experiences, you see, where you can go back to the same sources to have things explained as the intelligence grows and is able to comprehend what happened. And that's actually what happens in psychoanalysis, by the way. Not that I'm recommending it as any kind of panacea.
Right, no, I understand.
You know what I mean?
No,
but
sure.
It is an evaluation of your own past fears,
right,
and actions.
Which can at times be very good and can at other times be terrible,
yes,
depending
well,
on...
Yes, of course, and
right.
Most people aren't eligible for it in the first place, and and there are reasons for that. I mean, it's a contribution to the field of psychology and very marvelous in its way. However, what I just pointed that out because it does deal with
right.
with those things.
I must say I'm getting. Could you be clearer? I know that's
yeah.
That's terrible for me to say since I haven't been that clear, but I'm
well,
finding
I'm
you
is that
unclear.
Lady had a lot of bad experiences that were really the results of the limitations, the evolutionary limitations of our society and the totalitarianism and these factors, for instance, the overlapping of thousands and millions of these idealistic groups, you know, who spend money and time and everything, and which really reflects the way the government is run with all its overlapping and overspending and disproportionate priorities and all this kind of thing. And we don't have the time and the ability and we have also been, I feel, non-educated, misinformed, and ill-informed for about three generations about the rest of the world and about what's going on. So that this lady shouldn't be discouraged because she will find something. And most of the good in this world, incidentally, I feel, is done one-to-one. But at the same time, you have to support everything you think is good. Like when she was talking about WBAI, I was getting a little bit annoyed for one reason. See, I find so much in WBAI that is absolutely magnificent in comparison with anything else I ever hear.
Well, that's not to say that we may not treat some volunteers.
No, but don't you see?
Yeah, she
if
was
I don't support, if I don't like something on WBAI, that doesn't mean to say that they don't have my full
right.
support, because there are too many good things that aren't to be found anywhere else.
Okay, I agree with you, and I'm going to cut you off, okay? Okay, bye-bye. Hello, you're on the air.
Hold on. I would like to, say that the first woman who spoke was also sort of speaking for me, not so much that I'm discouraged, because maybe I think I've been around dealing with such things maybe a little longer than she. And what I have come to, and I have several organizations in mind that I don't...
Is this John?
Yes.
Hello, John.
Hi, how are you?
It's been a long time.
Yes. Is that people are so shredded and mangled that, it's a wonder that anything gets done at all. And but, of course, it also happens, this sort of business of this inefficiency, to give it a simple word, happens, in the big organizations as well. And the other day I went to the bank and I paid for an $11 money order and I was given a $91 money order. And that will never be, no one will ever hear about that, or at least, no one on the outside will ever hear
right.
about that. And, but this is the kind of inefficiency that they cover up. But in volunteer organizations, it's somehow it's standing out there in all its bleeding rawness.
Right. And actually, the inefficiency in large government organizations or the only way we know about it is that a lot of things, we are able to escape them sometimes
yes.
through their own inefficiency, right?
Yes, right. And also, now we're beginning to see through the, I really think the building, the city is obviously breaking down. I mean, the garbage is collecting, and someone on BAI recently was talking about all the people who sleep on the streets and how it's becoming like, I've never been to Calcutta, but like Calcutta is supposed to be. And so we're seeing how it all is breaking down because of all the thievery, especially the psychic thievery that's been going on. And I think that amongst the things that you have to, that it's maybe to save yourself and maybe to save these organizations or at least make some minimal contribution to them, is to desentimentalize yourself, which is, of course, is partly what you said at the very beginning of the program,
mm-hmm.
how you're being blunt and so forth with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself saying for the first time in my life the other day that I really don't like human beings very much. And but which doesn't mean that I want to crawl into some sort of sour cave and lead a kind of cynical life and not having anything to do with other people. I will simply attempt to do something on some minimal level with those with whom I can get along, even not liking them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I can understand.
Because I think that we have, I think amongst the bad concepts of family in which we talk about people whom we like the WBAI family, I think it's a very bad concept, it occurs to me now.
Since most families are oppressive anyway.
What's that?
Since most families are oppressive.
And horrible. I wouldn't have anything to do with mine for, love nor money. You'd have to drag me in chains to any of them. But I think that to desentimentalize our notion, I think there were some beautiful things in the 60s, but I think there was a lot of sentimentalizing of human beings in the 60s, and I think that we're going to have to divest ourselves of a lot of that, or we'll become so... the last shred of energy will be stripped from us, and we won't be able to do anything, and we'll then all go down the drain. And that's all I have to say.
Wow. I'll have to think about that for a few minutes. Okay.
Unless you have something to say to me directly.
Trouble is with these programs is you always want about 4 minutes pause to think, right? But they don't allow pauses in this age of technology or something, right? The pause has been banned.
Well, what you're doing, for example, on this program, you want to put out so much of what is done today is a minimal program. I mean, because of the fact that, really curiously, people will not, it appears, pour out, energy to WBAI. Everything has to be done on a very minimal level.
Right.
And people who are there feel, and so those who have, and I'm in this position in a couple of other much smaller organizations, those who are there, and I hear one hears the voices day after day, and they are carrying the whole burden. And of course, certain things happen to you when you are carrying the whole thing, and arrogance develops, and martyrdom complexes develop, and so it makes, and inefficiencies develop, because you do all kinds of cute little tricks in your psyche which have outward manifestations, and therefore it comes down on other people who might, like the good young woman who called first, who might want to come in doing good.
Right, whatever that is.
And she has just come in at the wrong time, wrong from the point of view, not from her point of view, surely, but wrong from the point of view of whoever is operating the machine at the moment.
Right, and who is tired and hungry and depressed and therefore gives her a runaround only because he or she is so unfresh that they cannot deal with the situation. Yeah, that's true. That's
right. In a certain organization, people that is the actually, well, it's the People's Warehouse. People come in, we do things on Tuesday. So people come in with their mouths all set to be given the word on how to form a co-op, and we haven't the moment to stop and tell them about co-ops. because we're too busy sorting potatoes, you know, sorting carrots and cabbages.
Right. I had one experience this summer where I went to visit the New Alchemists, which is it's a kind of a commune, but they also are inventing all kinds of low-technology ways of saving stuff and low-technology food production and all kinds of stuff, growing fish in tanks very, very cheaply, all kinds of interesting things like that. And the way it works when you go visit them is they are right outside of Woods Hole. You go there on a Saturday and you are expected to go to the garden and weed for about 2 or 3 hours and bring some lunch stuff, bring some dish. And after you weed for a couple hours or 3 hours, you go and there's a big luncheon and then there's a tour and then they tell you, oh, they give you maybe a half an hour explanation of what everything is. So I came there and started weeding, and there was some guy who was, I guess, with the group who was directing the weeding efforts or whatever else. And I started plying him with, of course, questions that I had about their whole trip. And of course he was kind of taciturn and morose because he gets this every week and he's tired and bored and, you know, who could care less, whereas I was ready to take these little facts back and, you know, make chicken soup with them or something, right? That's the way it goes.
It's the I can conceive of an entire one of those, maybe one of those night programs, you know, the from midnight to 5 in the morning, being given over entirely to how to deal with this problem of having people participate when they're scared off from participating, they don't want to participate, but it is necessary that everyone participate, or a new elite is born, and it's almost the central political problem of the time to try to figure this out.
Okay, well, it's one to give some thought to. Okay, bye-bye.
Fine.
By the way, it's 5:32, and there are some calls which I will take. I would like to remind people before anything else, if you are one of Unstuck in Time's regular listeners, if you're a new listener, if you're any kind of listener, and in some way you made a pledge during the marathon, which you have not honored for whatever reasons, they will remain secret. Or if you made a pledge in the last few days, please honor it. We have started the fall with a very, very aggravating situation, and that is that $41,000 of marathon pledges just were not honored. And that starts us out in the kind of financial crisis that really is serious. Now, we had a fond day, just a one-day emergency drive yesterday. If you contributed to that, please send your money in. It's just a desperate thing that we really need. And we will not be able to function unless you honor your pledges, both the marathon. And if you'd like to become a subscriber or figure out, why don't you call 826-0880 and someone will be glad to explain what we're all about. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Let me turn it down. There we go. Hi, Margo.
Hello.
You're back. I missed you very much during the summer.
Thank you.
Last winter, I taped some of your programs, and during the summer while you were gone, I managed to listen to you again by hearing them.
Oh, wow. I thought I had escaped.
Right? Oh, no. You're not going to escape. I had all sorts of wonderful, fun things to say to you, like about your mail. I thought you might have a new title for your program, Pandora's New Box.
Pandora's New Box? Oh, God, but remember what came out of that box.
Yes, but do you think it's all that bad?
No, of course, as we know, the eating of the apple was the best thing that ever happened for the human race. So along that line, I guess the demons that came out of Pandora's box were equally propitious or something.
Well, I think maybe that's a myth that we ought to explore sometime or other more fully. I think that maybe she was all right.
You mean maybe that's, again, one of those patriarchal dishes we have been fed.
We're not supposed to like her, you know. She told the truth, sort of Cassandra-like.
Right.
Maybe that's what she put out.
So what were all the things you wanted to say? That's an interesting idea.
Well, mainly I just wanted to talk to you and make contact. I've liked your programs very much. The first woman that talked to you, I felt sorry for her. She didn't, seemed like she'd never tried to do anything before, or she couldn't have been so disappointed. I've tried to do social work before, years ago, during the great Johnson years, when he was going to have a war on poverty. I was working at a war on poverty in Newark with the federal government. Well, it ended up that all the people that were working with me and that I'd got into the program, none of us got paid. It was an awful scene.
Mm.
Then I sort of got into the 60s culture, so on. And then it all disappeared into a great deal of religion. I've been into it a great deal in my life.
What kind, may I ask? What flavor?
I started out with Zen.
Lemon meringue, right?
Well, I started out an atheist. Then I got into Zen because that didn't have anything to do with any kind of spiritual stuff, you know?
Yeah, you can't, well, you...
And so I went on, and something you mentioned last year, your fear of Sun Myung Moon, well, that's where I ended up.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
Amazing.
And about 3 years ago, I gave it up, although I was in the movement for 3 years.
You were in the Sun Myung Moon movement for three years?
And when that was all over with...
You must be a storehouse of information.
Another,
now that you've left.
3 years, for a good many years, or even up until today, I am as much of a skeptic of the whole thing as you are. I realize what these hoaxes are. But it took me a long time. Us religious people and us good people, us nice people want to believe, don't we? And,
oh, are you ready for what? I just have to tell you what just happened as you said that.
Yeah?
As you said that, Larry Joseph walked into the room and said, be careful what you say about Sun Myung Moon. They sue a lot.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they've got more money now than they did when I was in the movement. There was only seven of us in New York at the time.
You'll have to tell me sometime.
I helped get the thing started.
Oh, my heavens. Well, I'll tell you what I want to know. I just would love to know one thing which you might be able to answer.
Yeah.
About them. As a matter of fact, I want to know lots of things, but I'd, at least one thing I'd really like to know. They have been... handing out all kinds of interesting, weird leaflets about Korea recently.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean about, you know...
Korea is the promised land.
Yes. Well, no, not exactly that.
Oh.
What they have... first of all, if you've read the papers, you can note that Schlesinger and all kinds of people are making warmongering noises about Korea.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
surely.
Right? There's, you know, you
that,
have this
that
feeling.
That was Mr. Moon's idea. It's absolute anti-communism. That's what this whole movement's about. It's not Christian or anything else.
That's what. Well, yeah. That. Oh, I'll tell you. I had a very.
It took me 3 years to find out. I don't know where I was.
Did you
I
go up to that estate? Did you go up to that estate? Where in upstate New York?
No, I was never. Oh, they didn't have anything like
they
that.
They didn't have anything.
We
like
had
that.
A little apartment over on the east side of New. Not east side, in the west 50s, over in Hillsborough.
Oh, it was really small, eh?
Oh, there was only 10 of us in New York.
What do you think the secret of success was? How did
Perseverance.
What?
Perseverance, I think. With Sun Myung Moon, it proves you can do anything.
Well, it's very interesting because my one account of... I had an experience with... I've had very few experiences with them, but... I know there's one of their volunteers or one of their workers down in the Times Square area who will not speak to me, who is convinced I am a representative of Satan.
Oh, well, naturally you are. We all are. In our forum, we are Satan.
We are?
Definitely. Absolutely.
Well, of course, given my religious...
I came so close to Bellevue after leaving. I mean, I was convinced that Satan was going to get me, and insanity almost did, you know, your own guilty conscience.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. And I've heard that that's the line that they give you when you leave, that, you know, that if you leave, you're going to be responsible for bringing Satan into the world and stuff like that.
Oh, no, you're not responsible. You're just doing his work.
You're just doing his work, right. Well, I know I've been doing it.
Well, keep it up.
Right. No, depending on your view of Satan. But I had the experience of being being told that, well, I did some healing work for a friend of mine who was very sick, and she had a Mooney person who was friends of hers, right? And every time I went over to see her, the friend would pray for me. I mean, pray for her, so I wouldn't contaminate So I, as this arch-Satanist type, would not contaminate her or something.
Well, your background definitely is so, too. You know, all psychiatrists or anybody that has anything to do with them is part of Satan, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Psychiatrists? I mean, I assumed that I was part of Satan because I was into witchcraft, which is pretty, you know, I mean, it has a bad name, right?
That goes without saying, but the people that are on the blacklist, the things that are perfectly fine.
But psychiatry, well, of course, we know that those were the ancient witch doctors, so, right?
It's a very interesting movement, though, however.
Oh, someday I'd love to talk to you about your early experiences there.
Okay, and I'm awfully glad you're back. And the gal that called first, she shouldn't get so discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever you may be wrong, I may be wrong. The thing is, just keep at it until you know you're wrong.
Well, I think it probably...
And that's sort of been my philosophy since, well, I guess even then. I didn't have it then. It broke me up completely. I was practically completely out of the world for...
How long?
Let's see. I left the movement in 69.
Wow, that's a long time ago. I didn't even know of the movement until a year and a half ago.
I know. I called Larry Josephson, I believe, in 68. I wanted him to put a program on. And that's when I was with the movement. No, it was before that. It was when Johnson was on, and I said, you know, the Messiah has come back to Earth. You know, who is he? Johnson?
Oh, I love it.
He didn't want to hear nothing of it. But it was a scoop, but he, you know.
Well, I'm sure he'll
one
be...
One of those early scoops. It was just too early.
I'm sure he'll be glad to know that you've reformed.
Anyhow, stay with us, and thanks.
Okay. And one other thing. I was going to just make a reply, you know, to say to the first caller, take heart or don't take heart, probably isn't very... really isn't the helpful thing to talk about. Probably what we could really talk about is what is it that happens within an organizational context that makes something totalitarian. That would be the fruitful argument, I think.
I think any group of people that get together to do anything, if they really are absolutely convinced, which they have to be if they're going to get it done, is almost always becomes totalitarian, and BAI is one of the few things that hasn't. Oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you this. I have been unemployed for a long time, but I had a bunch of old hi-fi equipment in my closet, and I took it downtown today, and I sold it, and the money is in the mail to BAI.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
So anybody else that can, you know, raise a few pennies for them, or for you, or...
any of all.
You're one of the few programs I like.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay, well.
It doesn't matter.
What?
Send your money, whether it's 15.
Even if you hate it.
You know,
even if you hate it.
I've also got a little jar. I'm putting a quarter in a day.
Right. Well. Look, I want to tell you, you begin to really get weird. One of the weirdest things that happened was after I got my book contract, right?
Yeah.
Which, of course, I'm still reeling over. I mean, I am just reeling, right? So about 5 days after it happened, I got a letter in the mail, an urgent plea for funds from one of the magazines, the Green Egg, one of the magazines that I, you know about the Green Egg. But anyway, that they were in danger of folding unless they got some money, right? And I wrote them a letter and said, God, you know, the minute I get my advance, right, I will send you a check, because all I need is to have all the pagan magazines in the country fold while I'm writing my book, right? I better support them personally if I want, you know.
Well, that's what we have to do, because nobody else is going to do it.
Right, right. Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm only going to take one more call because I want to play some music. Hello, you're on the air.
I don't believe that you picked me. Thank you.
Well, it was the goddess working in her own way.
I think so. First, I wanted to tell you how I got to listen to the show. I haven't been able to pick up WBAI on my radio for about a year and a half. And yours was the first show that I've listened to today.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you when you were talking about that friend of yours, or the person.
Oh, yes, right.
So it really just kind of caught me. And right now I'm at work, and I'm working for one of those inefficient organizations. And what the person, John, was saying was really interesting about how that there always gets to be a person who gets really popular, or media, get to be a media junkie, mm-hmm. and their psyches kind of get crazy. And that's kind of happened where I'm working. And I can relate a lot to that, where I went in with kind of a sentimental, oh, I'm going to do such wonderful things type attitude, and have had it totally blown away just about. And it's just been quite an experience, and quite an education, but I think a good one.
What?
An education.
Oh, an education, but a good one, right.
Right. I'm really excited about your show.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
And
I hope it does something. I don't know.
How long do you think your summer clearness is going to last?
Oh, about 2 days.
Really?
It's already not. I'll tell you. I was to give you an example of how much better I was about 3 days ago than now. I had a personal. Besides working at WBAI, there's some other things I do, and as a matter of fact, I'm involved with a couple of organizations myself.
Mm-hmm.
But they're little groups. They're not really organizations. And one of the groups that I'm involved in had a catastrophe happen to it, right? And essentially, I don't want to go into the details, and I wouldn't anyway, but essentially the group kind of basically dissolved, right? And there were only like 3 people left in the group, right? And I made a comment that was just so crass about it to the person that I never would have made in my normal waking life. I mean, you know, something just so flippant, so evil, so mean about all the people involved that it was really, I sort of sat back after I made it and said, boy, you really, things change when you go away.
Was that me?
Yeah, was that really me? Did I really say that? It was so, I also, when I was pitching last night on the air, I almost did the same thing. They were talking about the toll strike, you know, I mean the fare increase and
right.
and the demonstrations, right? And Gary said, oh, well, you know, WBAI is the only place that really sees a real revolutionary potential in this. He said something else. He said, you know, everybody else has just said, oh, it passed quietly, the fare increase passed quietly, the New York Times, the Daily News, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I was in such a weird mood that I said, and as we all know, WBAI, I almost said, I didn't say it, but I almost said, and as we all know, WBAI organized the whole thing, right? Which, of course it didn't, right? But, I mean, I was so flippant, right? And I was so crass at that point that I just would have said anything, right? Because it just seemed... It was just, you know, things would... I didn't censor myself.
Oh, well, I've been exposed to someone who came back from Vermont about a week ago, and I was there the night she came back, and she's a really good friend of mine, and she was doing the same thing. And she spent the whole night, she's a therapist, just getting into this one particular woman who was very defensive and... I don't know, just very hostile towards anyone that tried to challenge a point she would make. And she really wanted to work on it with this woman, and she was just being so persistent and so incredible. on the verge of being crass, because that's really not her style at all. But it was the same thing, and I just kind of looked at her. I said, well, I guess you're in city shock, and for the next couple of weeks, you're going to be like this. And she said, well, yeah, it happens, I guess. And it's an interesting phenomena.
Right.
Really, she's been gone for about 2 months, and writing a play. And then just the shock of being back here and back among it is just, I guess, too much to be believed.
Right. Well, I think, though, that the bluntness doesn't really come from the shock as much as it comes from just seeing things without the socialization process, which slowly worms itself into your soul so that you're doing things to be nice or doing things that are comfortable and easy, because after all, it's very difficult to have a conflict with someone. It's much more easy for most people, certainly for myself, to just kind of say, oh yes, I'll go along with this, even though you know way down deep inside that that what you're dealing with is just a total anathema, totally against every single one of your principles, everything else, right? And you come back after 2 months and suddenly you see for the first time that everything around you is a crock, right?
Right. Well, that's what I meant by shock. That,
right.
That you come back with this just openness, and you're able to see things a lot clearer, and just the fact that you have this perception that is a bit new, that you're just kind of, when you come back down to the place where you came from, you're just bombarded.
Well, I hope it, I just hope everybody enjoys it, because I'm sure it won't last.
Oh, I like it already.
So I'm sure it won't last, given the way these things work.
Right.
But anyway, thank you for calling.
Okay, and
okay.
One more thing.
Yes.
Are you going to be talking more about Akwesasne Notes, your experience
with it? Yeah, at some point. Yes, I have one tape that I'll probably play, and I'll probably be playing some programs from there. And I don't know when I'm going to be doing that, but I will.
Right, because a friend of mine writes poetry for them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's all I've found.
Some of the poetry is beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, and it's a really fine paper, and it really deserves support. And one last thing, that I support BAI, even though I cannot get it on my radio.
Well, I'm glad you got it on today.
Yeah, and it's the only place I can get it's at work. So Friday, I'll be here listening.
Well, just remember, Friday is... Freya's day, and it must have been because of that.
Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm not going to take any more calls. It's almost 6 o'clock, and even though there are at least 3 or 4 people that seem to have things to say, they will have to wait some other time. I want to announce that next Friday at 4 o'clock, I'm going to have Lori Lieberman on. Lori Lieberman is a singer. You've probably heard of her, and if you've listened to this show and heard me use Becoming, which is, I think, the most spectacular song that, at least in a personal way, as far as my own and my friend's own inner struggles, that song seems to just synthesize a whole bunch of perceptions that coagulate around that. Boy, I was doing all these weird things with words since I came back. What happened to my simplicity? Anyway, I came home. One last thing I wanted to say about vacations. I came home, and the first thing I did was I saw the records. There were some records that had been sent to me, and one of them was Lavender Jane Loves Women, which I hadn't played in ages and ages and ages, so I never owned a copy, but I hadn't heard it. And I spent about 4 hours listening to that record, just over and over again. And I played actually 2 cuts already from it today. Of course, The Woman in Your Life, which used to be Liza Cowan's theme song a long time ago. And the yells that were in the very beginning of the program, and also interspersed with Rachel Farrow's Refugee song, kind of was mixing and twisting within the lyrics of that song that I put the two records together. But I'm seriously contemplating using another song on that record as a kind of outro theme song, even though that probably will raise a lot of questions. And it'll be interesting to know what you think about it, but it certainly seems to be a song that really summarizes at least the religious position that I was going to be very blunt about that too, which I never got into. I was going to tell you exactly the groups I belong to and everything like that. I had come here with the idea that none of this horseying around, that I wasn't going to just insinuate, as I did all last year, that I was going to be just really direct. And here I am sitting in front of you, and I'm not being direct. That's what's happened. I told you I'm losing this. I should have been on yesterday, and I would have told you everything about my life, and you missed it, and I'm sure that the world is no worse for it. But anyway, first, here's a little Celia Cruz with a song to another type of goddess, another goddess. There are many, and this in Santeria. And then the song that I think I might use as an outro. Anyway, this is Unstuck in Time. I'll be back Sunday with something or other. Who knows?
Te daré mi murmurio, orgullo y poderío, Django yo. Right.
I had a dream and it left me feeling caresses and whispers embracing me. A kiss of the goddess, the lips of the lover, the blessing of precious woman's love. Loving, loving woman, loving easy, warmly, so peacefully. In the beginning exists the Virgin, her word in her world bears the breath of life, her seed on the wind blows, it seeks and it carries the blessing of precious woman's love. Love.
WBAI New York, Unstuck in Time came to you live with portions on recording and much beautiful music from Lavender Jane.